Have any of you ever had to write a character reference for anybody? Yeah? We've had to think back about the person that you've been asked to write about. And sometimes you look at the piece of paper and you think, what can I put that makes this person sound great or helpful or useful or good at what they did? And you gradually pull back to mind, don't you, lots and lots of things that maybe have happened, and you're able to write something hopefully that's meaningful and encouraging and helpful to, maybe it's for a new job or something like that, and it's helpful to be able to understand who this person is from pulling these little bits together. Well, I've been given the task this morning of looking at the person of Timothy in the Bible. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a great fan of looking at characters like this and trying to interpret stuff. I find it really hard to do, so I've got a drink, I think. It's all right here, somewhere. Got two now. But I'm going to try and do what I can with it. We're going to look at some things and see if we can gather a little bit of information about this man. I'll be absolutely honest with you, there isn't a huge amount about him. We're going to see what we can do with what is available. So what I want you to do is find in your Bible 2 Timothy. It's towards the back. And also, if I start talking rubbish halfway through, or even from the start, it's because my brain is all over the place at the moment, and this week I don't feel very well at all. So we'll do the best we can. 2 Timothy, we're going to read bits of that. In fact, we're going to read the first chapter. We got that? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read the first bit. So this was not written by Timothy. This was written by Paul, who wrote 2 Timothy, and it's a letter to Timothy rather than a letter from Timothy. And this is what it says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including two people that I'm not going to pronounce. May the Lord show mercy to the household of somebody else, because it often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So that's just a part of the chapter that is the chapter that we're going to look at, and just try and pick from there some things that we can find out about this man Timothy. And then what can we learn from that? There's absolutely no point. I'm going to waste your time completely if I just give you some facts about this man and then we all go home and have our dinner. There's got to be some point to this, otherwise it's just knowledge for knowledge's sake. So who was this guy Timothy? Well, actually, there's very little information about him. The Bible doesn't tell us much about him. We pick up little bits and pieces here and there from all over the place. Some of it is not actually fact. It's sort of, you know, Sunday school stories that we put together, but there is very little information about him. But what we do know is he had a Greek father and he had a Jewish mother, and that helped him in his ministry and his work as he went around and was involved working with Paul and involved in the various churches that he was involved in. And he had they talk about his mum and his grandma, and that's quite significant. His mum Eunice and his grandmother Lois had taught him from an early age to follow Jesus. They had taught him, they'd instructed him, they'd guided him in the things of the Christian faith. The other thing that we pick up is that he was a timid man. If you got your Bible open, if you look at verse 7 in the bit we read, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." God didn't make us timid people. Come on, Timothy. God didn't make us timid people. Be strong, be brave, have a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And somebody's going to die there. It's a baby, it's okay. And I didn't mean it's okay a baby dying. I meant it's okay a baby choking. You know what I say, right? Okay. Oh, I've upset him now, sorry. Oh dear. Oh, we're all laughing at him. Oh. And the other thing that he was given the responsibility of looking after the church in Ephesus by Paul. He was taken there and he was given the responsibility of looking after that church. And by all accounts, he struggled really with doing that. He wasn't a man in his own right that had lots and lots of confidence. Paul had to keep telling him what to do and helping him and say, "No, do this. No, this is better if we do this. Remember this. Do that." And so he was a person that needed lots and lots of instruction to do it. So as a timid man and a person that needed lots and lots of help and guidance, perhaps we can relate a little bit to that as we go through and look at some of this stuff. So I want you to just follow some things through. So the first thing in verse 7, we picked up a little bit on this already. In verse 7 of the chapter we read, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I think it's very easy. I'll speak to you if you are a younger person, if you are a person that maybe is shy, if you are a person who feels that other people are better than you, you feel that there's people more confident and more capable than you. And the message to Timothy, somebody that had been given responsibility for looking after this church in Ephesus, Paul writes to him and says, Timothy, don't be timid. Don't want you to be timid. And I think sometimes we can be put down very easily. If you are a shy person, if you are a person that feels that your voice isn't worth being heard, if you feel that the things you have to say aren't worth being listened to, I'd like to encourage you and say God actually uses people that are timid and people that are shy and people that sometimes feel that their voice isn't heard in a very powerful way. And I'd encourage you, if you are somebody like that, like Timothy was, to be a person that has confidence in who you are and be able to speak out and be able to be confident that God can use you. The second thing, if you look down to verse 14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He said, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. God has equipped you. God equipped Timothy with gifts that Paul had to keep saying to him, come on, be confident, do this, do that. You can do this. This is the way to do it. You can do that. God has given to each of us things that are unique to us. He hasn't made any of us the same, thankfully. We're all different. And God has given us gifts and capabilities that he wants us to use, and he wants us to grow within us and be confident in using. Guard those things. Use those things. Don't let somebody tell you that it's irrelevant. Don't let somebody else tell you that you've got to be like them. Guard carefully that thing which God has given you and God has put within you, so that you can use that and you can be the person God has made you to be. It's very important, because so often we aspire to be somebody else, don't we? And God doesn't want you to be somebody else. He's made you you. He's made you amazing. He's made you beautiful. He's made you the person he wants you to be. So don't pretend and try to be somebody else. Guard that which God has given you and use that. And then a bit further on, if you turn the page over to chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You then, my son. Timothy wasn't Paul's son, but he refers to him in that context of a good relationship. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in God's grace. Grace, God's grace is God's undeserved favor to us. We don't deserve the relationship that God has with us. And Paul says to Timothy, be strong in that. Be confident in that. Know who you are. Know who you are. And I wonder sometimes if we, those of us that are Christians, really know who we are, really understand the relationship we have with God, that God is our Father, that we are children of the King of Kings, that it's not just some naff, wishy-washy relationship, it's an incredibly powerful relationship. And Paul says this to Timothy, be confident, be strong in that. Be absolutely assured of who you are and the relationship you have with God. And I think sometimes we a bit wishy-washy on that, aren't we also? We can forget who we are. We can forget that God is our Father. We forget that God thinks we are amazing. We sometimes think that God thinks we're rubbish. And I think the problem with that is too often preaching from the front can make people feel condemned and make people feel beaten up about how awful they are. And that's not what Jesus wants us to understand. That's what God wants us to understand. God wants us to understand that we're amazing people and that he loves us. So guard that within us. Be strong in God's grace. Live in the reality of that. And whatever life has thrown at you and whatever situation you're in, be confident in your relationship with God and understand that and guard that and be strong in it. The next thing is look down to verse 3. Paul says this, he says, "Ensure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We say, well, we don't really want to endure hardship, thank you very much. We like it cozy. But if we want to be somebody that actually can achieve things, if you are entering the military or if you're going into a job which requires some real skill and training, you have to go through a training program, and that can be quite stressful and difficult, can't it? I remember I went on a computer programming thing, and I went off to this course, and I sat in this room, and this guy mumbled on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and everybody else seemed to get it. And I went back to the hotel room and thought, I don't understand a word of that. What is that all about? And I went the next day, and I came away the next night thinking, I really don't understand that. Am I just thick? I just haven't got this at all. And I spoke to the lecturer the next day and said, I'm just not getting this. And then he explained to me that people learn in different ways, and perhaps he should have taught in different ways. So training was important, but we need to be trained in different ways and taught in different ways. I was good at actually picking a book up and fiddling and learning it. I couldn't do the let's have it rabbited at you at top speed. I couldn't get that at all for that particular thing that was happening. So training is important, but we need to go through that. We need to endure the stress of that sometimes so that we can learn and so that we can be better people. And that's what Paul's saying here to Timothy. He's saying, endure the hardship, go through that, learn, go through the process of learning, go through that training process, put yourself through that so that you can be somebody which is better equipped and better able to achieve the things that God wants for you. And then verse 14, it says, keep reminding, this is Paul saying to Timothy that he wants the people in the church to do. He says, keep reminding them of these things Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It's of no value, only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So Paul was saying to Timothy, whether there was any arguing and gossiping going on, I haven't a clue, but Paul was saying, stop it. Don't let that happen. Don't be a person which encourages gossiping and tittle-tattle and all that sort of stuff which just breaks down and causes arguments and disagreements. I was reading something the other day in a book that just says, that was saying broadly, if only the church today would concentrate more on the message of Jesus, which is to love your neighbour and to love yourself, to love God, to love your neighbour, to love your neighbour as yourself. How can you love your neighbour if you don't love yourself? When we struggle and we get that worked out, that's enough to occupy our heads. Why does the church spend so much time arguing about all this stuff that on the big order of things is quite irrelevant? And I think the message that Paul was trying to get to Timothy was stop getting distracted onto side issues. Concentrate on the things that are important. And I think the church is gradually coming back to a place it's wandered, I think, not just this church, collectively. It's wandered away, and it needs to get back to that point of its core message and stop the arguing about all the periphery things that go on around the air and falling out about things and thinking badly of other people and questioning whether somebody else is even a Christian. You only have to read the Christian media to see this stuff going on all the time. And Paul's saying to Timothy, don't be somebody that gets involved in that. Stop it happening. Now, maybe he was somebody that liked a bit of an argument. I don't know. And maybe Paul was saying to him, you know, let's not go down that route. That's not a very good way of dealing with stuff. But whatever it was, this is what Paul's saying. Stop that stuff. Cut it out. Let's not have that in the place at all. So what? On Monday morning, when you've got out of bed on Monday morning, you think, what was all that about on Sunday? What was being said? There's just two things that I think I'd like you to take with you and to remember this week. The first thing is in Timothy 1 verse 5, just on the other page. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded now it lives in you also. This is to mums and grandmas. If you are a mum or a grandma, never underestimate the impact, the massive impact that you have on your children understanding about the things of God. See, it doesn't mention Timothy's father here at all, but it talks about his mum and his grandma. And I'd just like to say, as I look back on my early life, I remember very clearly my grandma and my mum were the main people that spoke very powerfully into my life and guided me. And my grandma died years ago, but my mum, even now, you know, at my old age, will still ring and say, remember, and think, oh, gracious me, thank you, mother. And that's important. It's important. I joke about it, but it is important. So if you are a mum and a grandma, remember the responsibility that you have to speak into your children's life about the things of God. They listen to you. You tell them all sorts of stuff, but don't be somebody that says, oh, I'll leave that to Sunday school. I'll leave that to Dad to deal with it. Here there's a clear example of Timothy that went on to be a person that looked after a church. He had a few issues in his life of timidity and all that sort of thing, yeah, but he'd remembered from his early growing up that his mum and his grandma had planted in him important things that made him the person he was. So I'll encourage you, if your mum or your grandma, to remember that. Please don't shirk that responsibility and take that very seriously, because it is something that I believe is very powerful and something that we should take very seriously. And the last thing, I've said a little bit about this already, but the thing on the end, God uses those who feel weak and timid to do amazing things. I'll repeat what I said a little bit earlier, but I'll add this to it. I think sometimes we, as if you're a shy and a timid person, you can shrink so far back that you quickly just drop off the edge of things. It's ever so easy just to just drop off the edge of things because you think, nobody listens to me, and my contribution is of no value. I wonder if you feel like that. Somebody here maybe feels a bit like that. They think, actually, there's no point in me saying anything because nobody's going to listen to a word I say. I'm quite shy. I can't speak out the front. If we do anything in groups, I feel inadequate, and I feel that my contribution is nil, and I feel that I'm not listened to. And I just want to say to you, particularly around this person of Timothy, God used somebody to look after a church in Ephesus, to be Paul's spokesman in that church and do an amazing job, although he suffered with a lot of issues, a timid and a shy person. And I'd encourage you, if you feel that way, to be a person that says, no, God can actually do something with my life, and God does have a purpose. And that might not be, it probably won't be, standing out the front, because if you're a shy, timid person, you may not feel confident of doing this. But it might be that God wants to use you in some other way. And it might be that that still needs to be explored, and it doesn't fit into the mold that we have at the moment in how church happens. You know, you might say, well, I'm timid, I'm a shy person. I'm a person that doesn't fit into anything at all. I come, I have a cup of coffee, I go. But maybe there's a plan for you that you need to work out before God. You say, God, how can you use me as a shy and a timid person? How can I fit in to be used by you, both within a church context and in within the community which with I live? And I believe that God will show you, and God will clearly make that those opportunities available to you. When we say to God, God, I want you to use me in some way. You know, the easiest thing to do is, when we're a shy and timid person, is just to back off and say, God can't use me, that's the end of it, and close down. But when we actually say, God, no, I do actually want you to use me in some way. I want to be of purpose. How can I do that? What can I do? And God took this guy, Timothy, planted him in a church, used him in a really quite powerful way of bringing a church together and developing it and moving it on. And God could probably do, not plant you in Ephesus, that's the last thing you want to do. Well, maybe it isn't. But do something different for you and use something very powerful in your life. So two messages really out of this character, Timothy. There's probably loads of others, but these two messages. If you're a mum and a grandma, remember the responsibility that you have to teach your children about the things of God. They will listen to you because you are mum and grandma. And the second thing is, if you are a timid and a shy person, please don't shrink away. Remember that God can use you, and God will use you if you make yourself available to him and ask him how he wants to use you. Let's pray. God, thank you for these words that we've been able to read from this story of Timothy, and just a little bit of his character, somebody that isn't massively to the forefront with lots and lots of detail, but the little bits we can glimpse just help us point to the fact that you do use people that are often not the loudest and the brashest and the most confident, that you use people in a very powerful way when we make ourselves available to you. And also, Father, I pray for any mums and grandmas here this morning, that you will encourage them to be people that really want to point their children in the right direction of finding out who you are and to live for you and be confident in doing that. And Father, I thank you for my mum and my grandma, as I think back, and the influence they had on my life and still do. And I pray for each person here that's a grandma or a mum, and for those of us that have mums and grandmas that are still alive, that we will value them and love them and listen to the things that they say to us. So, Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity just to think about this character this morning. And we just pray for this week that you will go out with us, that you will guide us, you'll direct our thinking, you will live out through us in the things that we do, whether we're a confident person or whether we're a shy person, that we will know you using us this week, because we say thank you to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.